Welcome back, everyone. We have just come straight off the back of a race weekend. We're going into another, so stick around because we're going to talk all things Singapore, all things Japan. And yeah, make sure you get involved in the conversation. We have social media. It's all in the description down below. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us 5 stars. It really does make a difference. Pause it right now and give us 5 stars, or just continue and give us 5 stars. If you're listening there and you want to follow us on social media, just search Racecast. We will come up. I'm not going to bore you anymore. Let's crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. Luke, how have you been?
Yeah, not bad, thanks.
You're a bit red, aren't you? A bit hot.
It's so warm in this room.
I like it. If you've been watching or listening for a while, Luke would always say, look, if I'm red, it's because I've just come back from playing football. I'm a bit red. That's how it is. It's not true, is it? You haven't played football this morning.
Not today. Not today, but it is boiling in here, isn't it?
It's hot. It's
they're
hot.
Like, I don't know, because we're in my office and the sun shines right in on the window, like pretty much from the morning.
Could you get air conditioning in here?
Probably, but it would probably cost a fair amount.
Could be a good investment.
Still jobless.
Should we just suffer until we get into like the winter?
When winter comes,
be freezing.
Yes, it's going to be too cold.
You won't have the heating on because you can't afford electricity.
Still haven't got a job. So, yeah.
Anyway, guys, I hope you guys are good. Thank you very much for joining in.
Matt celebrated his 30th wedding anniversary.
My 1 year wedding anniversary. Close. Only 29 years off. But yeah, I did. That was very nice this weekend.
But it's good. For a 60-year-old man, that's not a long period of time to be with a woman, is it?
It's not. No. You're such an arse.
Those grey hairs are real.
Yeah, but they are. They're definitely real, but I'm not 60
The brown, years old. On the other hand, just for men.
I've got to tell you a story off camera once about when I dyed my beard accidentally and it went completely
I feel wrong. Like I actually kind of remember this.
Yeah.
This was back in the day when you used to do YouTube, wasn't it?
It was when I used to do YouTube, yeah.
And wasn't it very, very obvious?
It was. So, right, okay, fine, I'll just tell you now. I thought, because I started to have like a bit of ginger coming through my beard and a bit of grey. This isn't Formula One related, but anyway, some drivers might have had this issue, so stick around. I thought I'll buy some brown dye just to match it, because I've got like a brown beard, brown hair, so I was like, I'll just do that. Started doing it at home, I was like, it's getting a bit dark here. It went full black.
I swear I remember, because yeah. I'm pretty sure we went to film something. I was like,
You
dyed your beard?
No, there was a video of us doing a football challenge when I used to do those of literally just a pure black beard.
I'm pretty sure I called you out on it because it was that obvious.
Yeah, no, it was bad. Because I remember I went to Dubai a few days later. That's the whole reason I did it. I was like, oh, I'll go there, look good for... Yeah, it didn't. It was so obvious. If you can find it on my channel, send us a photo.
The moral of the story is there. You're perfect just the way you are, everyone.
Was that even aimed at me?
Unless you're Matt, and then I would recommend dye your beard. It probably looks better than what God gave you.
You're such an arsehole. Right, anyway, let's crack on because we've got a lot to talk about. We'll get on to Singapore in a minute. Let's talk about the breaking news around the paddock heading into the race weekend, because
this made me feel like I was at school again. You know when like a rumour circulates and all of a sudden it's like encompassing everyone and it's all everyone's talking about.
No one cared about the race weekend after this news came out.
No. Honestly, everyone was more interested in, and I'm going to let you say what it is. You probably know if you're listening or watching what it is, but is it literally the thoughts of the race just went out the window. Yeah. It was like, oh my God, what's going to happen next week?
This was big news. And I think when this episode goes out on Wednesday evening, if you're listening to it, the news we might already have an answer. So if you're listening to this going, why are they talking about this now? It's because...
It's obviously the cost cap scandal. Because they're... On Wednesday, that's when they're releasing the certificates.
Yeah.
Whatever this means, this is the first time it's ever happened. So we don't really know what the process is going to be. But in theory, come Wednesday, we should know more about this story that we're about to go into.
So if you're new to F1 and you're wondering, what is all of this, about? So basically, last year, the cost cap came in. Teams had £145 million to spend for the season, I believe, to help develop the car.
And that was in staffing. Dollars as well, I think.
Yes. So basically what's happened, what the news has come out this weekend is actually the auditors go through all their financial, they scrutinize all their financials from last year, and they then get released to the public about what teams actually spent and what actually some teams spent less, some didn't. This has a massive effect on the following year as well. So heading into 2022.
And because also there is, they may have overspent in 2021 towards their development of the 2022 car, if that does make sense to people. It's not just strictly this 2022 budget allocation that goes towards the 2022 car. You know, like we've heard Toto saying, well, Mercedes are going to stop putting money into this year's car and they're going to start diverting the money into next year's car, which that is something teams are allowed to do.
However, the news that is coming from the paddock this weekend was there is two teams in particular who have, one has gone over by a massive amount.
Yeah, one is considered a significant breach.
And the other one is a minor breach. So what this means is actually two teams, in theory, this is only rumours at the moment, have spent over their allocated budget for the year. Both those teams are Red Bull, from what we're hearing, and Aston Martin.
Yeah, and we should reiterate, we get some stick for being Mercedes fans, and apparently, I don't know in what world, we're too biased and we come down hard on Red Bull. This is all speculation right now. We're just going off what everyone is saying. This could be completely false.
And, you know, by Wednesday, we'll know whether this is true or not. But the fact it's actually coming out, I have a feeling that there is some substance to this story, because all the stories that come out, you kind of go, okay, that's rubbish or whatever. But this, there must be something in it.
There's definitely legs in it. Horner was cagey in his responses when being questioned. You know, sort of giving vague responses of like, well, you know, when we submitted everything, we were in within the cost cap. There's no smoke without fire here, right? And we've seen Binotto and Toto linking up a strange amount, considering they're normally at each other's necks,
shaking hands, looking pally. Yeah.
So. And, you know, rightly so, if you're a rival team, you're going to pounce on the possibility that one of your rivals has breached the rules, be it significantly or a small amount. You are going to jump on it and be like, right, you know, we need to make sure they get it here. And I think that is a fair response. But, yeah, we don't know anything else, but people are clearly in the know.
There's some substance to this. There's got to be.
The Red Bull and Aston Martin have breached it. We don't know who.
No.
If Aston Martin, I mean, I'm shocked that they produce such a shit car and they overspent. But if they overspent significantly and still produce that shit heap, then wow, that is incredible. So I think that's why it's fair to assume that if we are going to choose, you would say Red Bull probably committed the significant overspend.
Yep.
And Aston Martin, the minor. You'd hope so anyway. Otherwise, something is that's not right.
So basically, the FIA, from the statement that's come out this weekend, it says the FIA is currently finalising the assessment of the 2021 financial data submitted by all F1 teams. Alleged breaches of financial regulations, if any, will be dealt with according to the formal process set out in the regulations. The FIA notes significant and substantial speculation and in relation to this matter, and reiterates that the assessment is ongoing and due process will be followed without consideration to any external discussion. So let's just put this in context from a penalty point of view. So this is looking at the 2021 season. This isn't even looking at the season we're currently in. Yeah, so last year was gone. We thought it was over.
Because it's obviously they haven't submitted anything for this year.
Yeah.
Even though there has been speculation already. Like Binotto has pointed towards it or alluded to it many times that he believes Red Bull have overspent this year. Again, I want to reiterate that is complete speculation.
Because didn't Bonotto come out and say we're still not allowed to have a new floor because we can't have that, we don't have the budget, like, however we can't other
afford,
teams are...
Yeah, so that was his sort of logic behind that. You know, we can't afford a new floor, but Red Bull can afford all these new parts, We don't know here. So but this is interesting speculation.
A major breach is classed of an overspend of more than 5%.
Okay, I was going to ask what is the difference.
So the penalties for this, okay. When we say this, I'm going to put it, we're Mercedes fans, however. But what I don't like about this is, and let me go on to that in a minute. Let me just tell you what the actual penalties are. So one could be a deduction of drivers and constructors' championship points. Suspension from one or more stages of competitions. Suspension from an entire competition. Exclusion from the championship. And reduction of the cost cap. Okay, so when you look at this, if this is true, and let's just say speculation-wise, Red Bull have gone over by 5%. A reduction of cost cap, I don't think, is a big enough penalty.
No, how can you... A, right... That still allows the team in breach.
Yeah.
If they did win a championship, for example, if it is Red Bull, they can still bask in that glory.
Yeah. Any financial penalties is not good enough.
And then a financial penalty, you know, if it's like, oh, well, you overspent 5 mil, we're going to charge you 20 mil. Red Bull are going to be like, what? And we still get to win two back-to-back championships. Like,
where do we sign?
Yeah. I'd be like, are you sure you only want 20? We can give you more.
So what I find sad about this is, obviously, Max Verstappen was phenomenal last year. And I do feel sorry for him that actually he kind of... I'm going to say this and not how I mean it. He won the championship by...
Under those circumstances
by the FIA.
Cast a huge shadow over his like unbelievable... season.
And I feel sorry for him for that, because he was phenomenal last year, and you know, on the whole, he deserved to win the title.
And then this year he's come out of it and he's leveled up again.
So now this is coming out. Like I say, financial penalties won't be good enough for any punishment here. If you've gone over that, then you've obviously spent way too much last year, and that's what's helped improve the car to help fight for the title, if this is Red Bull we're talking about.
Yeah. Please allow us to speculate without...
Yeah.
We're going based off the news, basically, not what we believe.
But if this is a penalty deduction, would in theory that mean that Lewis Hamilton would be crowned the 2021 world champion?
Now, here's where it gets really complicated, right? Because A, that is like hugely, hugely harsh on Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
B, there's nothing worse than having these titles decided a year down the line. It is almost a year.
Yeah.
In 2 months' time, it will be a year.
But these financial reports were submitted back in March.
Yeah, so this is taken...
Or April, yeah.
I think it was March. Mm. This has taken like a huge amount of time. You know, and it's because it's... the first time this process has ever happened. I'm sure they'll make it more streamlined in future. However, just because of those downfalls, you know, bang out of order on Max, but at the end of the day, if you're driving an illegal car, you're driving an illegal car. Ridiculous to have championships decided a year later, particularly after we already had the farce of Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
But what is the point in having a cost cap if you're allowed to breach it? And the only penalty is going to be a financial one. The reason we brought the cost cap in was to stop the big teams just pumping money into it and just running away with it. But if they're allowed to go over it and all it's going to do is cost them more money to go over it, that's not going to stop them. They've got so much money.
It's interesting because listening to Christian Horner this weekend, he's been on everything. He's been on the pit radio for Sky throughout, you know.
On the pit wall.
On the pit wall. He's been everywhere, basically. And when you listen to him, part of me feels like he contradicts himself sometimes, because he's like, oh, well, you know, and when we look into it, the issue is there's so many different ways of how you interpret how much you spend in certain areas.
Yeah, which that makes no sense to me. You've either spent or you've not.
Yeah, because, you know...
It is... I appreciate this probably a lot more complicated than, like, our tiny, teeny, weeny little brains can handle. But at the end of the day, outgoings, cost cap, does it add up? Yes or no?
Well, Christian Horner has reiterated he is confident Red Bull stayed within Formula One's budget cap rules last season as the FIA prepared to announce its conclusion after investigation. Reports, as I said, emerged from the Singapore Grand Prix that Red Bull and Aston Martin have spent more than $145 million budget cap. It's an interesting... Mercedes team principal Toto Wolff has described it as an open secret in the paddock that two teams have overspent last year, and that is given that them a material advantage that was unfair. After the race on Sunday, Horner repeated his belief that the team were well within the regulations.
Which that that material advantage does not stand if you're Aston Martin. Whatever they overspent
you have not benefited
whatsoever.
Whatever
they overspent on, it did not work.
I don't know, their performance yesterday...
It must have been on like Twinkies for Lance Stroll or something.
I like this comment here. Somebody's put, would be funny if Red Bull is found to be compliant and the team's pointing fingers are found to have overspent.
I actually do think that would be hilarious.
That would, yeah.
Even though that would probably lead to it being Mercedes. And I do think that would be funny. I always find it funny when there's someone that's being like constantly accused of something and they're just like... And then it turns out that like it's just not them.
Inés Binotto and Toto Wolff are actually meeting to go, shit, we're the two teams.
What are we going to do here, boys?
But this comment's good. If the team who are found guilty only gets a slap on the wrist, then I'll give up with this sport. And do you know what? I would fully agree. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Hamilton fan. Would I love him to be crowned the 8-time world champion? Absolutely. However.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I am going to absolutely bathe in glory if it happens.
If it happens. However, I'm also someone that I want the sport to be, you know, we watch it each week. We want it to be fair. And if this is the case and they just get a financial penalty, I potentially would start to think to myself, what is this all about? You know,
you need a robust framework that like you think, well, no, this is actually going to deter people. No one, and I guarantee you, no one will ever breach the cost cap again if the team found it to be in a serious breach is disqualified, or if they did have a championship revoked.
And I think
no one will ever do it. No. If you slap them with a penalty, fuck a penalty. Yeah. We don't care. What's 10? Max Verstappen's on 50 mil a year. Do you think they give a shit about a 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 mil penalty? No.
Well, you know, there was the FIA got a lot of scrutiny after the Abu Dhabi race. There was a lot of fans who left the sport. They lost a lot of faith in the FIA. And the FIA have changed, you know, team, you know, the director, got rid of Massey, all of this stuff. They've got to, if this is true, they've got to take a stance on it. They've got to come down with harsh punishments. And like you say, they've got to actually show, we're not taking this. These are our rules. You either follow them or you get punished.
Who's in charge here? The teams or the FIA? Because that is what this is going to dictate. You know, even, and this is not just, I think even the team in a minor breach, you know, if it shows that like, that they've overspent due to like research, development and whatnot. I mean, even overspending it, at the end of the day, the rules are the rules.
Yeah.
They can't just slap them with a fine. I think they need some sort of points deduction.
If it is a fine, I will lose so much respect for it. I honestly will.
I just don't understand the logic in it if it is a fine. I'm going to currently put my faith in the FIA, and it's Wednesday now, if you're listening. It's Monday if you're me. I hope that whatever has come out today shows us that they are taking positive action or definitive action. There might not actually be anything that's come out today, maybe just the news that okay, these teams have breached,
and then you have to wait for them to do it.
So next week could be a ridiculously exciting episode.
This is a good comment. I like this. Formula One is crumbling, zero reputation after Massey, and now this. No one seems to know the rules. Part of me agrees in the sense of after, you know, like I just said, the FIA, if they want to get a grip on this and they want to start to get some respect back in the paddock and amongst fans, they need to actually make sure. And don't get me wrong, I'm not just saying this because this is Red Bull. I'm saying this in general. If this was Mercedes, I would say the same thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, we can go back to, what was the Ferrari engine scandal, 2019? Yep. They like settled it behind closed doors. No one ever knew what the punishment. What the fuck is that?
Well, do you remember Renault? Did you watch that? Do you remember Renault back in, was it 2008 or something? When Piquet, they told Piquet to crash into the wall so Alonso would end up winning the race. And then it was Fabio, what's his name? I can't remember his name.
How did they say it? Did they just say it over the...
No, it was all planned, basically. There's a documentary on it. Ted Kravitz did a bit on it. It's really interesting. Watch it after this episode. If you haven't watched it, go and watch it. It's brilliant. Nelson Piquet crashed into the wall. Was it Nelson Piquet? Yeah, it was Nelson Piquet Jr. Yeah, or something. Yeah.
But there have been scandals before where, like, you know, the FIA have taken action. The McLaren collusion shit back in like 2009 or whenever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't they get slapped with like a 100 mil fine? They got, was it points deductions or, you know, we want to see, and you know, Lewis was driving for them, but the penalties were fair. If you're cheating, you are cheating.
Yeah.
Nobody wants a cheat in the sport. I don't want Mercedes to cheat. If they were caught doing something, I think, well, no, that's not what the sport is about.
I don't want someone
to have an unfair advantage. No. I don't care if someone has a better car. That's part of the sport. If someone has a better car because they've cheated, well, then I don't like that.
Well, you know, I think it's quite interesting where, just to finish off on this point, whether it's Red Bull, whether it's Aston Martin, whether it's Mercedes, Ferrari, whoever has spent over, what I hope is that actually the FIA do the right punishment. They actually set a standard and a precedent for... This is what, from now on, my only concern with this, whatever team is actually involved, my only concern is that there's going to be some sort of loophole that gets them out because, oh, it's the first season, you know, oh, we didn't realise that actually that meant. That's what my gut feeling is the team is going to get away with it. That's my gut feeling. My hope is actually the FIA go, no, that's bollocks. This is, you've overspent. This is your punishment, whether it's points deduction, whatever, and actually make a stance on it. That's what I hope. But my gut feeling is actually there's going to be loopholes within this that the team, whoever's involved, is going
to
get away
because
with
it. Does just continue to make a joke of them as a governing body. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, I think we've seen too many loopholes with different things, too many errors. I mean, even I know we're going to talk about Singapore, but what is the point in having a wet tire?
If you're not going to use it,
if all you're going to do is wait for the track to be dry enough to use inters,
it's like Monaco Part 2, wasn't it?
What is the point? At least Massey got them out behind a safety car.
Can I just finish off just while we talk? Comment down below. Let us know what your thoughts are. There's a comment on this statement, which is so good. It makes me laugh. Not going to lie. Still expecting Latifi to crash and somehow influence this outcome. If you don't get it, if you didn't watch Abu Dhabi last year.
But not for long.
Not for long, poor guy. Let us know what your thoughts are. Do you think... I know, obviously, you might already know because obviously by the time you listen to this, do you agree with the punishment?
I think likely what they're going to know listening to this is who has committed the breach.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping we'll know who committed the serious one specifically and who committed the minor one.
I can't wait for the Japanese Grand Prix. If it is found out to be true...
Oh my God, there is going to be tension in the paddock.
We're going to get up at 6 a.m. for the race. I'm going to get up at 3 a.m. just for the actual, like, the...
Shit, I forgot it's at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Shit.
It's good.
Yeah.
It works out a treat for me.
Can't it just be 8 a.m.?
8 a.m. could work. Shall we get on to Singapore?
Yes.
Because I must be honest...
Mixed opinions.
I was really excited about going back to Singapore. Last time was 2019... I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And it was good to a certain extent. However, there's a lot of things that overshadowed it. Rain, FIA decisions.
Can we just say rain doesn't overshadow a race?
Depends what part of the track.
Rain can make a race very exciting.
Yeah, but what I mean by that is actually
Fucking let them race in it, what is the point? Are we ever actually going to see a wet race again? Like a race on wet tyres? Comment down below. Are we ever going to see a race on wet tyres? Are we ever going to start a race on wet tyres again? Or should Pirelli just save their money and stop fucking producing them?
Yeah.
Because they don't get used.
Let's get on to that in a second. Let's just quickly touch on practice and qualifying. Practice, FP1, Lewis Hamilton, top of the table. You messaged me going, yeah, okay, this is good. I was like, don't get too excited.
He was quick all weekend.
He was. FP2, FP3, Ferraris looked good. Yeah, Ferraris, Max was also in there. But
Ferraris looked really good all weekend.
Yeah.
Particularly Leclerc.
Yeah, he did.
Sainz was well off it, especially in the race.
Let's go finish touching on qualifying. In Q1, Danny Ric goes out. Biggest shock for me, Latifi finishing last.
Yeah.
Did anyone see the tweet I posted on the race car thing?
That was funny.
It was good, wasn't it?
It's like, because if you don't know, Latifi has, is it a five
place penalty?
So it's like Latifi's going to be starting 20th instead of
20th. the biggest names to go out in Q1 was Bottas and Danny Ric, and Ocon. Ocon had a shocker.
Yeah.
Heading into Q2, George Russell, P11. He had a bit of a shocker. He had an issue with his...
It smells like drains in there. I don't know how old that water is.
It actually doesn't look clear.
It doesn't. It looks brown. Nightmare.
If Luke dies on this podcast, send your resumes in and we'll see who can replace.
Yeah, be my replacement.
And if he dies, then I might just use some of his money to get aircon. But yes, George Russell had a bit of a shocker, had a bit of an issue with the car as well, I believe.
Yeah, and they had to change the power unit overnight.
Yeah.
Did they not, before the race?
That's why he started from the pit lane. Heading into Q3, though, Leclerc looked good. And this was a bit of a weird one, wasn't it? So Leclerc looked good. Perez looked good. Hamilton looked good. I actually thought Hamilton was going to get pole.
I thought he was going to get pole, genuinely. The track was getting drier and drier. Yeah. So the slicks were getting quicker and quicker. He was like one of the last to post a time. Well, he was behind Leclerc and Perez. They had set their times just before him. But he had a little snap, didn't he? As he came out of one of the corners, and you know, it's 500ths of a second, but Perez 200ths off. It was really... All I'm going to say is that qualifying was, in my opinion, better than the race.
It was a good qualifying.
It was a really interesting quali session with the wet, the track not drying properly because the humidity and no sun. I just thought it was so interesting.
Let's just touch on Max Verstappen, because I'm a bit perplexed by it, really, because...
They didn't have the budget for fuel.
He didn't have the budget. Oh, I've seen that joke so many times this weekend. So his penultimate lap, he went out purple first sector, purple second sector, and then all of a sudden they told him to...
Abort
to prepare him for another flying lap. He then goes off doing one. He was like, okay, you're going round.
And he was setting a flyer as well.
He was setting a good lap. And then all of a sudden, they were like, oh, pit, you know, box. And he was just going,
He went ballistic.
Basically, if you don't know, they didn't have enough fuel in the car for a sample. So they had no choice but to pit him and not let him do his flying lap. Whereas that penultimate lap was a good lap.
Yeah, that would have got him pole.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. I was a bit confused by it.
It was a rare Red Bull error.
It was.
There's no other way to describe it. They made a mistake.
Feeling pressure this weekend.
Yeah, you know, they got tough times coming their way.
So the top 10 looked like Charles Leclerc was on pole, Perez, Hamilton, Sainz, Alonso, Norris was in P6, Gasly in 7th, he had a good lap, Verstappen in 8th, K-Mag in 9, and Tsunoda in 10th. I mean, on a whole, I love a wet qualifying because it just throws so many different things in the mix.
Yeah, and you know, like Seb tried, or I think both the Aston Martins did, they tried to go out on the slicks in Q2. Yeah. It just didn't work. But to show you how like close it all was, come Q3, slicks were the tire to go for.
Yeah.
So, although Yuki Tsunoda went out on Inters.
And he's still putting a good lap. Well, yeah, but to be fair, though, he was 10th.
Yeah.
So he didn't improve.
But that's how tight it all was.
Let's get on to the race. Interesting fact. Do you know how many volunteers helped this weekend?
Oh, I swear it was 300?
700 volunteers this weekend. And do you know how many of those were women? I'm only saying this because they said it on Sky Sports. So
it was either 20% or 200.
It was 280 odd. Yeah,
I knew there was a two in there.
Yeah, it was amazing. 700 volunteers. Like, that's phenomenal for...
But, like, that would be... I would volunteer.
Yeah, I think I would.
I'd want to be a marshal. Like, I'd want to watch the race.
You know what we would end up doing? We'd be, like, by the bloody, like, parking lot. Oh,
yeah, you lot are litter picking.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we'd get the crap jobs, wouldn't we?
I'd go home.
Oh, we have to clean the toilets or something.
Nah, John, there's no chance. Not volunteering to clean shit off a bowl, mate.
It's like being a football volunteer, isn't it?
Well, and you just get to lie down behind the advertising board.
You're outside the stadium or something. Yeah, that'd be annoying.
No, I want to be a marshal. I want to be like on a nice corner.
Yeah.
Which I probably won't get involved if they crash. It's a bit dangerous.
Just touching on the marshals, did you see the Sonoda? Have you seen the meme where Sonoda crashes and all of a sudden the marshal waves out a green flag?
No.
It's so good. Comment down below. Have you seen that? It's so good. It's like literally he crashes into, you know, before he's out of the race and all of a sudden out comes like a green flag.
Did he just pick up the wrong flag?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah. What is that noise?
Don't know.
Oh, you can't pick it up. It's okay. So let's quickly touch on the race. Good start by Leclerc. Not a great start by Leclerc. Good start by Perez. Into turn one, takes a lead. Sainz on the inside takes Hamilton, pushes him wide. It's a bit of a scruffy lap, wasn't it? And the mist that was coming up looked... If you're driving, it looked awful, didn't it?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know how they can see.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's bad enough on the A27 if you've got a bit of rain coming down. I have no idea how they manage it.
It was obviously delayed by an hour and 5 minutes or something?
Yeah, it was around about that.
And this was because it was torrential downpour, basically. I agree with it to a certain point, but all of a sudden, you know, what with... 40 minutes to go, an hour to go. It was actually looking quite light rain.
The rain stopped, right? And here's the issue. They have all the satellites. They know what the weather is saying. They could see that the rain was going to go.
Yeah.
Right? Granted, the track was wet. Maybe it needs a bit of drying. I don't really know the science behind it. But we have wet tires, right? There are tires that are made for a wet track. If it started raining while they were out there, I mean, rarely do we see them red flag a race because it's raining too much. I know it has happened, but when it stopped raining, the track was just going to dry, sending them round.
Do you think that the FIA don't have full faith in the wet tyres? Because let me put it in this context. When you look at this weekend, the amount of people who are on Inters... who were locking up and literally going straight on. You had, you know, Norris almost looked bad. Sonoda, you know, Hamilton.
Max.
Yeah, but he was on mediums by that point. But I mean, I'm talking about the ones who were on the Inters.
Now, didn't he lock up at the start when he tried to take Norris earlier on?
Oh, yeah, but I don't know whether that's pushing too hard. But there was a lot of people who, Albon, literally just couldn't even turn.
Yeah, it's like you're on ice.
Yeah, so, and these were on Inters. So... are these tyres as good as what we think they are? And is this what they're concerned about, actually, even being on wets?
I genuinely just think they are scared of something happening. I think now they're being too overly cautious.
Mm.
They're trying to protect, which is understandable. No one wants the drivers to go out in unnecessary risk. However, driving in the rain is not an unnecessary risk. That's part of the sport, weather conditions.
Yeah.
These things happen. You know, if it stopped raining but the track is wet, I mean, even if it's raining, I can understand it to an extent if the track is flooded. But at the end of the day, like, I've watched some proper wet races.
Yeah.
And they're incredible.
They're amazing.
And
that's what you want to see, though, isn't it? You know, you want to see racing. You want to see if it's raining... you have wet tyres for a reason.
And I'm pretty sure all the drivers say this as well.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't we just out there racing? It's not like this is new to them. They're not going to be like, oh my God, what the fuck's this wet stuff on the ground? They know how to drive in the rain.
And I think it's frustrating from a fan's perspective in the sense of you want to see racing in whatever condition. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
If it's like Spa 21, you can kind of understand it because that was awful rain.
Yeah, the thing that annoyed people about Spa was giving people like half points.
Yeah, that was just ridiculous because they didn't want to pay fans back.
Yeah.
But light rain, get them out. get them racing. That's what fans want to see. It makes it more enjoyable. You know, Monaco this year, they should have been out there racing.
Yeah.
None of this, like, we're going to hold it for another hour. Why?
Yeah, it fully doesn't matter if it's raining.
Do you think they're concerned because of it's a street race? Because Monaco and Singapore.
I appreciate there is dangers, but at the end of the day, there is just as much danger going out on a dry track because you're going twice as fast.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's you're in the same amount of danger. No matter when you get in that F1 car, you are in danger. Part of the sport, you know, you got the same in other sports. You play rugby, you're in danger of snapping your neck. You're boxing, you're in danger of having your brain shattered. That is just an inherent part of the sport. Dangerous sport.
Let us know what your thoughts are. Do you think they should have raced? Do you think they made the right decision? Or do you think they made the wrong call, the FIA? Let's quickly touch on the first people who went out. Latifi. I don't know if he's heard of these things called mirrors, but I don't quite understand what he was doing with Joel because...
And then he comes out and says, oh, I didn't see him there.
This guy, I mean, he's got to get out of the sport because... Did you see the Alfa Romeo's team principal's comments?
Yeah, sometimes it's Latifi.
Yes, sometimes.
But he said that before, didn't he?
Yeah, sometimes it's the engines, sometimes it's driver issue, and sometimes it's Latifi. It's like, come on now. Like, I don't quite understand where he thought he was going because Joel had the line.
That it was outrageous. When I saw it, I was like, that's bang out of order. That,
you know, this.
He's just completely closed the door there, but like not in a safe way. His car was halfway through the door. Do you know what I mean?
And this reminds me of back in Australia. Do you remember with Stroll?
Oh yeah.
I
didn't see him there.
It's like these are meant to be the top drivers in the world, and you're meant to be, your reflexes are meant to be the best. And
all I'm saying is mirror, mirror, signal is one of the first things you learn when you're driving.
It's not mirror, mirror, signal. It's mirror, signal, maneuver.
No, mirror, mirror, signal.
Mirror, signal, maneuver. Well, I think you're wrong, but anyway, let us know.
Well, you check like your rear view, check your side, bang.
Yeah.
Oh, and then maneuver. I don't know, whatever the fuck it is, but you learn it straight away. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you look in your mirrors, that's like basic driving.
It is basic driving.
If you can't do that, then...
Yeah.
3 years in an F1 seat, man, and he
still
can't check his mirrors.
Another FIA decision, which was a bit strange, was when Albon went into a barrier. He lost his front wing. And the marshals were on the track picking up his wing. And they decided to...
And it green flagged.
They green flagged it.
Yeah, whether that was a delay...
I don't know if it was a delay. But from what I've read, it wasn't a delay. Which, if that is true...
That is outrageous.
That is such a bizarre... But one thing,
you can't drive in the wet, but you can walk on the track and pick up pieces if you're not a driver, because you're just a scumbag to us.
Do you remember in Monza when, and I think you and I were talking about this, when the tractor was on the circuit during the safety car? My gut feeling is no one should be on the track. If you've got a tractor on the track, car shouldn't be going mad.
Yeah, no, the car shouldn't be.
No, but we're still finding this. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, that is a major error, by the way. Like, green flagging a race when it was like two geezers on the track, wasn't
yeah.
it? That's not on. That's not cool.
I say this because from what I've read, they were on the track when it was green flagged. Whether this is actually true, I don't know. But from what I've read, it was true.
Yeah.
Which, if it is the case, it is shocking by the FIA. And
oh, someone needs to lose their job over that. That is like, genuinely, that is, that's a big error.
Don't you feel like we're one race away from something catastrophic happening? Because I feel like I don't know, this feels like there's something going to happen, which is going to be quite drastic at some point.
Yeah, I mean, they give me such like conflicting views. I feel like, you know, next race, we're not going to race because there's like one too many clouds in the sky. Or there
it's a valid point though. Can't have too many clouds.
Or they're going to green flag it while like they're still doing the grid walk or something. And they're just so inconsistent with these, like, they're either well overprotective or they're making, like, these ridiculous errors, which are like, well, hang on, that's actually putting someone in danger.
The worst thing, so I can't remember what race it was. It was in Canada, but I can't remember what year. Have you seen the marshals running on track, picking up stuff when the cars are coming round and the marshal falls over?
Yeah. And he can't stand up. He's obviously shat himself.
It was hilarious if you're watching it.
It's hilarious watching it back, knowing that everyone's okay.
But at the time, you're thinking, how is a marshal out there when you've got cars literally weaving? And it was wet.
It's like, have you ever been in a dream and you're like in the way of something, or you need to get away and all of a sudden your legs don't work?
Yeah.
It was like that.
They're like jelly.
He just fully forgot how to walk.
If you haven't seen what we're talking about, type in Canada marshal fall, basically.
Yeah,
you'll see it there. Let's talk about Hamilton. He had a great battle with Carlos Sainz. You know, he was in within that, you know, with those DRS, they didn't bring DRS for ages, but that was a weird...
They were on slicks and they were still bringing no DRS.
Because they're saying, oh, it's still a bit wet. Well, why? If they're on slicks, surely it's good enough to race. But again, another questionable thing by the FIA.
But green flag it if they're a marshal or something.
Yeah.
Because that's good for them. It toughens them up.
Hamilton was pushing, you know, signs. He couldn't really get close. He was within that second range. And then all of a sudden, just went into a barrier.
He did. He did just, you know, Lewis made a mistake. Lewis made a couple of mistakes this weekend.
The big boys made a few mistakes this weekend. Hamilton did.
Leclerc did in his pursuit of Perez. Which, the one man who didn't make a mistake, Perez.
Yeah,
flawless.
Flawless.
Let's not forget how good
that
drive was.
Can I bring one topic up? And for Red Bull fans, you may give me a bit of stick for this.
Here we go.
But I'm hoping you will see where I'm coming from this. So I'm well aware that actually Mercedes aren't going to win anything this year. Absolutely fine. You know, accept it. It is what it is. But from a neutral fan point of view watching this season, it is really frustrating when you've got Max Verstappen, who is back in P10, P9, whatever, coming up behind an AlphaTauri, and those AlphaTauris move out of the way so easy.
Oh yeah, Gasly just let him.
On two occasions. Like, I'm not being, like, having this sister team is fine. But if you're a racer, there's no other benefit to any other driver out there.
Because what I will also say is a lot of people always say, oh yeah, but it's not their race. Do you know what I mean? Actually, at a track like Singapore, or if you're at a track like Monaco, actually track position, no matter who is coming up behind you, it's your race.
Yeah.
Because you can keep them behind.
Yeah.
You know, we saw, when was it, Monaco, when... Was it 2016, 2017 when Danny Ric kept, was it Seb behind?
Yeah.
For so long with literally half an engine. He was basically trundling around the track and he kept him behind and he got the win. So it actually is, there is everything to race for at these tracks, no matter who you're racing. Alonso gave it to Max hard.
What, yesterday?
Yeah, he didn't let him...
Until his...
Yeah, and then his engine went, and, you know, I question whether Max would have been able to overtake him, because the Alpine's not a slow car.
He was on one this weekend, Alonso. It's disappointing. Both Alpines, I mean, especially Alonso, he looked good this weekend.
Shocking weekend for them, but in the end.
Comment down below whether you agree with me or not. Like, I know that they would turn around and go, oh, it's not my race, we have to protect our tyres, all of this stuff, but you're still in a race, and... You know that actually, if you've got Red Bull behind you and you're a driver, you're going to go, you know, it was such a... He moved out of the way so nicely, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, it was so easy for him. And it just frustrates me in the sense of, hang on, you know, there's no other benefit to any other driver. If that was Hamilton or Leclerc behind Gasly, he would fight him.
Well, yeah, likely.
Yeah.
He would make it harder, I'm sure. Yeah.
So it's a bit frustrating. It's a bit frustrating to see. As we said, disappointing weekend for Alpines. They both went out with engine problems. Both Williams went out as well. Albon, he went into the barrier. He came in for a new front wing, but actually they couldn't get the car. It wasn't safe for the car
Albon
to go out.
Albon had a pretty shaky weekend.
Yeah, I mean, but considering...
Fair play for coming back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I personally think he should have taken the weekend off.
Yeah.
Recovered. Too. But that's easy to say when you know, after it's happened and you've retired.
Yeah, no, I agree. George Russell, first drive. This is another thing that blew my mind.
Shocking weekend, by the way.
But this is another thing that blew my mind, okay? So there, no other driver had gone on to slicks, okay? They're all on inters. Mercedes didn't really want to give away tactics. They didn't want to, like, help any other teams with, you know, data or anything. So what do? Bring in George Russell, put him on mediums, see whether it's beneficial or not.
Give everyone the data.
It's just like, you know, I can understand if it was someone like Aston Martin or Alfa Romeo did it or something, and you'd be like, oh, it hasn't quite worked out. But a top team, well, you know, a top team like Mercedes come in and you give them data.
You're giving Red Bull and Ferrari all the data they could wish for.
For laps.
They're just like, thanks.
Yeah, not for a couple of laps, for like a good 10 laps.
Yeah, because they weren't working. He was like 5-6 seconds a lap off the pace.
Yeah. I mean, they gradually did come into their own. But yeah, it was a weird move by Mercedes, I thought. And I know George was very heavily on the radio going, let's try it. What have we got to lose? Let's just go with it.
Yeah, because he didn't want to come back in and bit, did he?
But it was a bizarre one that it was such quality data to give to rival teams.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's just another strange Mercedes decision.
Yeah.
Really. But then at the same time, I'm sure they were probably sitting there like thinking, we've got to try something different.
Yeah.
Because if he wants a chance here, you know, I think generally he had a pretty bad weekend.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He was well off the pace of Lewis all weekend. His quality, obviously there was something wrong with the car, but to me, he also just didn't look comfortable around the track.
Yeah. It's a tough track.
Yeah.
If you're not confident, it will.
And then just... he was stuck behind Bottas for ages.
Yeah. Couldn't get behind him. Couldn't get past him.
So yeah, I think a weekend to forget for George, but he's been consistent all season. Everyone is going to have these weekends.
We had numerous safety cars. One safety car alone really benefited McLaren by staying out because they both pitted under a safety car. P4 and P5 for McLaren this weekend. Phenomenal drive by Norris and, you know, phenomenal by Danny Ric to come from 16th to 5th.
Yeah.
Phenomenal weekend for McLaren. That got them two points above Alpine in the championship.
I was actually going to ask, how's that done for the championship?
As far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, it's 2 points.
Sometimes all you need is a bit of luck.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need to use luck to your advantage. You still have to have a good drive to actually benefit from luck.
Yeah.
So fair play to them.
One person who didn't have luck this weekend was Hamilton. After that collision in the wall,
let's say luck. He also
made mistakes.
That's
what I mean. He didn't have any luck with him. This is what I mean.
He didn't, because he made two mistakes and he's got to take that on the chin.
And he obviously went into the barrier, which did some damage to the front wing, meant he had to pit. And then due to that pit stop, came out from behind both Aston Martins, and he just never recovered from that at all.
No, and then he did go to take Seb.
And he just locked up.
Completely overcooked it and then lost the position to Max as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about the safety cars, because there was a lot of controversy from Perez and the safety car.
Yeah. I don't like this business of, oh, we'll...
Review after the race.
Review after the race. Bullshit. You can't let him, like, get this win and then be like, nah.
So basically what they were investigating was he apparently did, there's two occurrences where he left a bigger gap at 10 places.
I believe there was actually three, but he only got a warning for one.
So the investigation after the race, I don't understand why. It ruins the race because you celebrate, but actually, am I going to be behind?
Imagine if he got like a 20-second penalty.
Yeah.
You know, so he's just celebrated a win. Oh, no, actually, like, even though we had all the information before, we're just going to give you a 20-second penalty and ruin your day.
So I'll explain to you. So Perez was actually investigated for two occurrences of failing to keep within a 10-car length of the safety car during a pair of caution periods. However, the Mexican driver was handed a reprimand for the first of these, which occurred on lap 10 after Joel and Latifi made contact. They didn't just make contact. They
Latifi crashed into him.
Perez claimed he broke his brakes and tyres hadn't been warm enough in the damp conditions to keep pace with a safety car. That's what they. This is what's come out.
What wasn't he? But then at one point
he's waving his hand so close behind him,
telling him to speed up.
A five-second penalty and two penalty points on his license, however, were issued to Perez for the second violation, with a steward's rule in Article 55.10 of the FIA Formula One Sporting Regulations requires that the leader must keep within 10 car lengths of the safety car once deployed under the lights are extinguished.
Quality reading. If any of your children need English tutoring, Matt's your guy.
Such a prick. So basically what this meant is Leclerc ended up being 2.5 seconds behind Perez instead of 7.5.
Perez did well to build that gap then because Lewis, Jesus Christ, Leclerc was on his ass for a while.
Yeah. But isn't it weird that they didn't give him a 5-second penalty for the first one because he was saying that he had to call his brakes, but that was accepted. But he did the same thing in the second one, but he got a 5-second penalty. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a bit strange.
You know, because you know that if it was a 10-second penalty, Leclerc would have been crowned winner. So were the FIA again just going, okay, well, if we give him 5 seconds, then
we don't actually change anything.
We're technically giving them something. Yeah, the FIA have got to change that. You can't be making these rulings after the race. It doesn't work. It doesn't work whatsoever.
It is all, you know, unless it's, you know, we give you a warning if it happens once or... But then, I don't know. It gets so bogged down with like all these possible.
But regardless, Perez fully deserved that win. I thought he was phenomenal all weekend.
Oh yeah, no, he didn't put a foot wrong.
It was a class race by him, and it was really good. It was really nice to see, you know, Perez come back fighting like you saw him back in the days of Monaco earlier in the season. He's coming back. He's battling,
and he's had he's had a rough time.
Oh, yeah.
And it must also be really hard when he's been underperforming, we can say that.
Yeah.
And then Max has been absolutely tearing it to pieces.
Dominating, yeah.
So, it was probably good for his soul.
Just finishing, Ferrari get their first double podium since when?
Silverstone.
Miami in May. That's mad.
Christ.
Yeah. Fact.
That is...
It's a long time.
The second best car, it is now, it was the best, it is now officially the second best.
Yep.
That is unbelievable.
It's good. Just looking at the driver's standings, Max Verstappen is on 341 points, Charles Leclerc is on 237, Perez is 2 points behind on 235, Russell stays fourth, Sainz fifth, and Lewis Hamilton sixth. When you're looking at the actual constructor's standings, what this means is Ferrari are still top with 576. Ferrari there with 439.
Do you mean Red Bull are still top?
What did I say?
Ferrari.
Yeah, Red Bull are still top with 576. Ferrari have 439. And Mercedes are in third with 373. McLaren do jump Alpine. And I lied to you earlier. It's actually 4 points clear now they are, not two.
It's impressive. You know, Danny Rick needs to keep his head down. Help him get those points.
It's very good. The interesting bit is for 7th, 8th and 9th, okay?
Well, Aston Martin made huge
gains. Aston Martin, who is 7th with 37 points, Haas in 8th with 34 points, and 9th is AlphaTauri with 34 points.
Bad season for AlphaTauri.
Yeah. It's close, though.
Yes.
It's very close.
Yeah, no, it is. I think that's the thing. We've got quite an exciting midfield. Yeah. I say midfield, I mean rest of the field.
Basically battle, from fourth onwards.
Battle going on this season.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Shall we get... Guys, let us know what your thoughts were on Singapore. Did you rate it? Did you not? Shall we look ahead? Because how long have we been talking? 54 minutes. 54 minutes.
So we'll just skim over
quality
Japan.
Content. It's what you get week in, week out. Let's talk about Suzuka.
Yes.
I am buzzing. I love this track.
I
hate doing it on PlayStation.
I hate driving it.
But
it's
I like it.
Nice to watch.
Yeah. So would you like to know the schedule?
Yes, obviously.
So FP1 is on Friday at 4 o'clock till 5 a.m.
I'm not waking up for that.
Practice 2 is 7 o'clock to 8:30.
I'll be awake anyway.
On Saturday morning, FP3 is 4 till 5.
And 4 a.m.
4 a.m. Yeah.
No watching that.
And qualifying is on Saturday at 7 to 8.
I wasn't planning on being awake.
Why don't I come round? I bring breakfast. We can watch qualifying.
Oh, you are. I was going to say Saturday. But you are coming around anyway. Hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Am I?
Okay, we got paint.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I forgot, yeah. And the race is on Sunday at 6 to 8. Beautiful time. Beautiful.
Should be 7. 7 till 9. 7 till 9, I'm happy.
Yeah, okay. 7 till 9 would be perfect. But I love the fact that actually I have other plans in the day. So this works out beautifully for me. Like,
Kevin, you'll be too tired to execute any of them.
Mate, I'm at work at like 7 a.m. every morning anyway. So this is...
Weird flex. Who wants a job?
Well, you might need. No, you won't, woman. Right, this is a chance where you can play at home and let us know how good your knowledge is. So, Suzuka. DRS zones, how many are there?
Two.
One.
One?
That's what it says on here.
Is it literally just the pit straight? To be fair, that does make sense.
Yeah.
It's because it's kind of like straight and then the rest of the track is just like corners.
Yeah. Well, that's what it says there.
Yeah, I didn't know if there'd be one here.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is that... So that's the only DRS is down
from...
Oh, okay, and then you get it. Yeah, so you get it down there and then you get it down the pit straight.
Yeah.
So detection zone is in sector 3.
When was the first Grand Prix held?
Oh, Christ. It's going to be a while ago.
You can win. I'll buy the paint.
That's 40 whole British pounds.
40 whole British pounds.
1973. I'd hate it when you play this game and then you make me think that I've got it right.
I'm not actually joking here. You've read this, haven't you? There's no way you've got 1973. There's no way you picked 1973.
I'm not biting.
Yeah, it's 1987.
Yeah, see, fucking bullshit.
Number of laps?
62. 53. Oh, I was going to go 58, which is still not like...
It's not right.
But it was closer.
Lap record and person held by?
Lap record. It always just makes sense to go Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, correct.
I'm trying to think when. He's won there quite a few times. I'm pretty sure he's won there like four or five times. I'm going to say he got it in 2019.
That's correct.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it's a... How many laps?
53.
A one.
If you're listening to this, Luke has literally just gone forward.
I've gone into sweat mode. 138.7.
130.983.
Oh, I was close.
You were close. Do you know who won the last time in Japan?
Hmm.
So it
was 2019.
It was 2019.
It was when Max and Charles collide. I'm just going to say Lewis.
Bottas.
Oh, it actually was.
It was.
It was Bottas, Seb, Lewis.
Yep, that's right. Albon was in Red Bull in fourth. I love this. Carlos Sainz was still racing for McLaren back then. Danny Ric was in Renault. Pierre Gasly, obviously... Toro Rosso, Sergio Perez was racing point. I like Kimi Raikkonen and Alfa Romeo. Yeah, I like it. George Russell, where was he? Williams?
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't. I mean, he didn't get any points that season.
No. But I think it's good. Do you know who was the 2018 winner was?
I'm pretty sure that was Lewis.
No, this is weird.
What?
So you click, right, it says here 2018 race report. Okay, you click on it, it comes out of the 2019 race report.
That's wrong.
It is. Tell me about it.
I'm pretty sure it was Lewis, so 2018.
I'll have a look. Who is your top three for this weekend's Suzuka Grand Prix?
Max, Charles, Perez. I think the Ferrari is going to benefit from The Ferrari is not slow in a straight line.
No.
So firstly, the Red Bull will still make gains on the straight line. There's a lot of weaves, bends. They're not even like corners. They are more like bends in this track. Which I think the Ferrari's ability to absolutely glue itself to the road is going to massively benefit them here. It's going to help them. That Red Bull, though, just generally looks like such a good car. Max has obviously just been flawless the whole season. I feel like Perez is going to have confidence from this week. Sainz was well off the pace.
Yeah.
This weekend, that I just can't really put him in contention. So yeah, I think I'll be surprised if we don't see the normal two boys up top. And I think Perez will have a nice little lift from this weekend. I still think Perez and Max's car are not the same car.
No.
They're just not. Although I think Max would still be quicker if they did have the same car.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I don't think they're running the same parts. So yeah, that's... And then, you know, I don't have a great deal of faith in the Mercedes. But if they want to shock me, feel free. So yeah, top three. Max, Charles, Sergio.
Just quickly touching, I don't think I probably said it. So Max Verstappen this weekend in Singapore was outstanding. Like,
oh yeah,
shocking. I don't think we finished on that in Singapore, but he did a brilliant race. He had to pit after locking up and he still came out. He still beat Vettel. He still beat Hamilton. And he just showed you why he's a world-class driver.
He showed a great recovery drive. Yeah. You know, he made some errors and everyone is going to make errors. You know, Max is human. Lewis is human. Michael Schumacher is human. These like top drivers do make mistakes, and it's your ability to recover from them. And Max showed that he can do that.
He was superb. But my top three for this weekend's Japanese Grand Prix is Max. See, I want to say Perez, but you know, Perez won in Monaco and then he went on to have a shocker. So I don't know if he just gets too excited and thinks he's going to do amazing. So
yeah, well, it sort of starts driving with like his arm out the window.
his leg up. Yeah, let's go. I'm going to go Max, Charles, Perez. So I still think Perez will be
exactly
there.
Exactly what I said.
No, you didn't. You said Max and Perez first, didn't you?
No, Max, Charles, Perez. That's what I think. Okay, well, that's what you think. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think the Ferrari will split them.
Yeah, because I also think Charles still has more drive.
Yeah.
I think he knows he's not going to win it, but I think he still wants to prove that he had it in him to win it.
This is a tough track, by the way. It's not an easy track. You make a mistake, you're in the gravel.
Yes.
As you said, the bends come, you know, they're quick. It's a fast-paced race.
Very easy to take too much speed into there. It's also very likely that at points you're going to be going into them side by side with someone. And it's not actually particularly easy to overtake in that section. No. But people do go for it naturally. Why wouldn't they? And you see people run off wide and... I think it's going to be a good race. I'm excited to get back there. It is, like you say, a hard track, but it is a good track.
I do think Mercedes, you're probably going to see them about P4 this time. Lewis, maybe P4 is what I'm going for.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I mean, I just don't know how the car's going to perform around this sort of track.
I give up trying to predict it because 1 week we have like Mercedes come out of nowhere.
I was expecting them to be useless at Singapore.
Yeah, I mean, they were in the end, but they showed glimpses of promise in qualifying and practice, but you just never know. You just never know, do you? Shall we go on to fan questions? Guys, let us know, comment down below, who's your top three for this weekend's Japanese Grand Prix? I'm excited for it. 6 a.m. start Sunday. Buzzing for it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? If you wake up and watch that race, DM us on Twitter. We'll be about Twitter. Not on Twitter. Instagram.
We do have Twitter, though.
Yeah, I actually looked into that the other day.
Yeah.
Right. This is actually quite a good one. If both of you could drive around any circuit, what track would it be and what car? Do we mean F1 car or?
I'm assuming F1 car. What, are you going to do like a Ford KA or something?
Could be quite fun. Around Monza.
What, are we going to do like Top Gear special?
It'd take like 12 minutes.
That is a good one.
I love Bahrain. Bahrain is just, I don't know why, whether it's because I love it on the game.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I love races under the lights. So that makes me like it. I just think it's a cool track. I think there's so many opportunities there.
I think from a fun point of view, Sandfort would be cool with the banks going around. I think that would be quite cool. But if I had to pick, I'm going to go really boring, but I think this is probably because I like it on the race.
Are you going to say Brazil?
I like Brazil. I also like Monza.
Oh, you like Monza because
it's easy.
It's just foot to the floor the whole time.
Yeah, but it's a long straight. It's good. I do like Brazil. Sandfort looks cool to drive though.
That would be a fun track.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking at the same time, right, if I'm taking an F1 car around, I need it to be like moderately easy. Monza's so easy. I would take the W11 around Bahrain.
Good shout. I would, yeah, last year's...
Although I'd love to drive one of the, like, are they the V10s or the V8s? Like Alonso's 2006.
That would be
Renault.
Sick. Yeah, that would be sick.
And again, it would be around Bahrain.
The Damon Hill Williams looks cool because they're chunky.
That one?
No, that's not Williams, that's a Jordan. The
Damon
Hill
yellow.
The Damon Hill Williams would look sick. Do you know what? The blue and white one.
Yeah.
That would look sick just because it's chunky. But ultimately, I would love to race, you know, the Mercedes last year. The black livery looks sick.
Yeah.
And like you say, if you're driving around,
that's why I go the W11 because it's still in black.
Yeah.
But it's better.
Yeah, true.
I'll have DAS.
True.
Although that might get a bit complicated with. Because it comes in, comes out. But yeah, that is a good question. Where would you like to race? If any of you could race, where would you race?
Look at that.
Yeah, it does look cool.
That's sick.
That's the thing. So the older cars do look
cool. The FW18. Yeah, Williams.
Yeah, and what track would you race at? I feel like Bahrain's going to get slandered.
Even that looks sick.
Does look cool.
Yeah. Let us know.
Because Bahrain is obviously... Oh, no, it's one of those like Middle East tracks, isn't it? Where
Saudi Arabia would be fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's a quality track. Very quick.
Quick. Actually, to be fair, I'd like to race around that. That is a sick track.
I would have to make sure I'm the only person there.
Can we do that next time?
Yeah. We'll go out next time, man.
And I'll just crash.
Yeah, you probably would.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, me and Matt did race on F1 the other day. I smoked him.
Yeah, I didn't Okay. Give me a bit of credit. I qualified P7 in qualifying, and then in the race I was doing all right until I got taken out by Albon.
Finished P1, qualified P1, so just commanded the whole
weekend.
Yeah,
to be fair, you were pretty sick. Anyway, next question.
Do you know anything about Mick in 2023? We don't. No, we are just regular people. Tend to hear the same as you guys.
The agents rang us this morning and said there's no real news.
I do appreciate that you clearly think we're in some sort of position that we're not.
We spoke to him the other day and he said there's nothing really going on.
It's nice. I would like to make you think that we are in that position. But we know nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Well, if you're probably here before us.
We're just two losers who talk about F1, yeah.
Do you think AlphaTauri has made the wrong decision on keeping Yuki Tsunoda?
Do you know what? Yuki, he's been very inconsistent this year. He's had moments of class and he then has moments like he showed in Singapore where he just makes a mistake and he's in a barrier, ruins his race. I like Yuki. I think this is a guy who suffers with a real lack of confidence. Yeah. I think he's someone who... it needs a lot of nurturing, a lot of support. So do I think it's a mistake keeping him for the 2023 team? No, I think he's someone who has the potential, but I think next year is key for him.
Yeah, the next year is his make or break, basically. He's either going to continue in the sport or he's going to be found out to not be good enough. And I don't think we've seen enough yet to determine whether he can stay for the long run, but we also haven't seen enough to determine that he's not good enough.
But you've also got to remember the car hasn't been great, so it's really hard to judge,
particularly this season.
Yeah, but no, I'm happy he's here for next year. I like him as a character. I think he's brilliant for the sport.
And I do. I don't like it when we just rotate drivers.
Yeah,
we just
give them the time.
They do need a bit of time, and I know it all costs money. You know, you can't just keep forking out a mil a year or however much they cost on them. Particularly if they keep crashing the car.
I think 3 years is a max.
Yeah. I think
They've done with the Latifi, 3 years is a max.
Yeah, might be a bit too much for him.
Maybe 1 year would have been fine for Latifi. But anyway.
Last question. Who do you think is the best wet weather driver of all time?
Max.
You think Max?
Max's quality. Did you not see him back in the Toro Rosso days?
Yeah, I'm going to be biased and say Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis is class, but Max is like different. He's a different beast in the wet.
I think the thing is with Max is you can, and maybe this is because Lewis's age, where he is more risk adverse.
Yeah,
you can see that Max still just gives it 100%. Yeah, but I feel like if you compare it to Lewis when he was younger, Lewis back in that McLaren when it was wet, I mean he was just full throttle.
I think there's two ways. If you're looking at tyre management-wise, Lewis Hamilton is above everyone else in that. He's class on tyre management-wise. Wet weather, for me, yeah, Max is class. That overtake he done in the Toro Rosso on Nico Rosberg, I can't remember where it was, but it was just phenomenal.
And what about, I mean, they said, not even I can really remember, but Michael Schumacher?
I thought we were talking about drivers this season. Or do you mean in general?
Of all time.
Oh, of all time. Is that what it means? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, look, I think
Schumacher was class. Until he goes into the back of David Coulthard in Belgium.
You sound upset about that.
Well, no, I'm just saying he's class in the wet until he goes into the back of David Coulthard.
Michael was just one of those drivers where I think similar to Max, where he would always be foot to the floor.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think this makes you a bad wet weather driver at all, but sometimes pushing too hard in the wet is when you get really caught out.
Yeah. If you're talking about qualifying over a lap, George Russell, don't count him out. Remember in Spa, he was outrageous. He was in a Williams, for Christ's sake.
George Russell, the greatest of all time.
I loved his comment yesterday in the race. Oh, Mick's like driving for his life. Crikey. And then somebody commented, yeah, he's just driving. He's driving for his career. Yeah. So I don't know.
Which he actually is.
Yeah.
But sadly, no, we do not know anything about that.
Yeah. Guys, hopefully you've enjoyed the episode. If you have, and you're watching on YouTube, hit like button, subscribe if you're new. Obviously, when this comes out, we might know a bit more. So we'll keep us updated on all our social media. So check us out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all our stuff on there. We'll keep you updated. But yeah, we'll be back next week for a brand new episode, reviewing the Japanese Grand Prix, which I'm buzzing about. And we'll have a bit more news on the saga that is going on with the budget cap.
The cost cap and scandal.
What did you say it last week? What did you call it? What do you keep calling it when we were playing F1? Do you remember?
Didn't I call him the human error budget cap world champion?
The issue is, if Luke hears something, he literally just keeps saying it over and over. You love it so much in your head.
Yeah, I latch on to things.
Yeah, you do. But guys, hope you're all good. We shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.